Good morning, and welcome back to your morning conversation right here on KXCV, KRNW. I'm Jeremy Werner. Just a heads up, as you can probably tell, I am wearing a mask for the interview this morning, so I apologize in advance if my voice sounds a little muffled or sometimes my words don't come across clearly. Joining me this morning is Northwest student as well as museum attendant, Natalie Cote. Natalie, you're joining us this morning because the people at the museum have an interesting idea for the naming rights to a dinosaur. So, go ahead and tell me a little bit about the plans for the naming.
Yeah, it's a little bit of like a digital event that we're kind of hosting in lieu of people not being able to kind of come out to the museums because of COVID. Basically, last semester, we had a submission box out for basically the whole semester where students, faculty, everybody could kind of submit a name for the 22-foot-long mosasaur skeleton that kind of is kind of housed in our geoscience museum. And then this semester, in the exact same timeline as March Madness and in the style of March Madness, we're going to do a little bit of a bracket situation. We're going to pair up some names against each other on Twitter, and people can vote for their favorites, and hopefully we'll end up with a perfect name for our campus mosasaur. So,
and what kind of names do you have that you can think of off the top of your head? Because usually there's like one, there was the one where someone had the name of Boat, so someone put Bodie McBoatface.
We've got a lot of Moses. Moses was a very popular one. We've got Martin, Mort, a lot of M kind of names. We also have, I think we had some children in there for a little bit. So we have Cactus the Huggable Plant is an option, as well as Kevin and Stan. So we have some normal names mixed in with some more funky names. So, yeah, there's some good ones. Trying to think of another one that was my favorite. A lot of Mort the Mosasaur and Marvin the Mosasaur and all that stuff. So
I guess to paint the picture, people who don't have a mental image of what this is, talk a little bit about what it is.
Anybody that's seen either the first or the second Jurassic Park, the new one, the new with like Chris Pratt and stuff, that Jurassic World. Yeah. At the beginning when the giant, they're like in the stadium and that big kind of sea creature kind of rises from the tank and eats that cow or whatever it is that it's eating, that's a mosasaur. So that's they're sea reptiles, like prehistoric sea creatures and stuff. Kind of like the prerequisite massive 10 times bigger than a shark type vibes. Ours is 22 feet long, but mosasaurs can get up to 50, could get up to 50 feet. So they're pretty big. So ours is, we've had it since like the late 60s, early 70s. It was found in Fort Hays, Kansas, and some Northwest students and faculty actually excavated it. So we got to bring it home, and they're doing some restoration work on it right now. We have about 90% of the actual skeleton, and then the rest is being kind of fabricated by hand with, like, epoxy putty and that kind of thing to kind of get the full effect. And so that's a couple students are working on that right now, and they're hoping to kind of get that done in the near future. So,
and so how does a 22-foot Loch Ness monster-like creature end up in Fort Hays, Kansas?
Well, a long, long time ago, Fort Hays, Kansas was not Fort Hays, Kansas. There's a lot of underwater. Most of Middle America was underwater, actually. And so, that was their home. And they actually, I think it's called, it's a certain kind of chalk that they ended up in. A lot of, like, land dinosaurs, you have to be, like, in, I think it's a, what's the phrase? Tar is was the primary kind of medium by which they were preserved and stuff. But there's like big chalk slabs that they pulled this mosasaur out of. So he once swam freely in, you know, the middle of Kansas, and then not so much anymore. So
and so the reason it's going to be at Northwest is because Northwest students found this?
It's been here since the 70s.
Okay.
It's just kind of been living in our geoscience museum, and we have 6 museums across campus, and not many people know that. And so this event is kind of a way to kind of get out there that we have some really cool stuff in there. It's just not as advertised as often. And so it's in there and is currently being restored, and you can go in and see it at any time. I'm in there a lot of the time, and so people can set up appointments or come by when my like normal hours are. And we're working on some like virtual kind of digital tours and stuff to kind of put up on websites and stuff if people can't come out and physically see the spaces because of COVID, because that is a concern. So there's a lot of different things that we're doing, and we're really lucky to have it. I think it was primarily because Northwest students were the ones that did most of its excavation that the property owner kind of gave it to us. They're saying that once it's like fully restored, it could be worth anywhere between $80,000 to $100,000 in terms of like not that you can put monetary worth on something that cool, but if you had to, it would be something like that. So.
Well, I didn't want to interrupt you earlier, but I would hate to admit I didn't know that was on the campus as well.
That's okay.
I guess what other items are in this that, you know, people can check out before the entire creature is finally assembled?
Yeah, you can see it, even though it's in the process of being assembled. It's currently, it's half of its ribs and vertebrae. Its head is kind of stored away. They're working on its head right now, but a lot of its body is in the exhibit. In the Geoscience Museum specifically, we have to countless number of really, really cool rock specimens, a lot of minerals in there. And it's one of the prettiest collections on campus, in my opinion, because there's so many colors and shades and textures and stuff. And so they're really, like, pretty to look at. We also have a meteorite replica in there that was found by, like, a local farmer in, like, the late 90s. And so that's pretty cool. It's kind of a rare meteorite. And so that's that space. Upstairs in the Life Science Museum of Garrett Strong, we have a bunch of like entomology collections. So butterflies, bugs, anything that was once alive. We have a lot of taxidermy stuff up there, some really cool animals, and that kind of thing. Here in Wells Hall, we have the really cool Broadcasting Museum. So radio, TV, broadcasting. That's a really interactive space too. So it's a really great place for like kids to come because you can like exchange telegraphs across the room or play an old 80s Atari. We have that's a really amazing collection, actually. A lot of different things that you wouldn't expect. And then our art gallery is really great, too. We have in that space, it's in the Fine Arts Building. There are temporary collections that get rotated in every month or so. So this past month, we had a ceramicist from St. Louis in there. A lot of really cool, he did pots and bowls in like a 18th century style, a lot of funerary objects. So we had some like heart urns and some, and that kind of thing. So really, really cool stuff. And then we also have a permanent gallery that houses Olive Deluce's father, Percival Deluce, was a really famous artist in like the 1850s. And so she was the the first art faculty member of Northwest. And when she died, we got a lot of her father's artwork, which is really cool. So that's housed in there permanently, and people can kind of come in and see that, and then also come in and see some of the temporary stuff that gets rotated in. Last month, I think we had a faculty show. Some faculty showed some of their artwork off and that kind of thing. I think a student show might be up next. So, yeah, we have a lot of cool stuff there. And then the Computing Museum is a little bit of a hidden gem as well. It's at the basement of the library, and you have to get very special permission to be there. I can do it, and anyone that wants to see it can, but it's kind of housed in conjunction with the server room, which is a very locked part of the campus for good reason. And so, but we have a lot of objects in there that are very temperature sensitive because they're like old computers and stuff like that. Northwest was one of the first online campuses to kind of do the online schooling and that kind of thing, and really embraced tech like that in the 80s, and so like late 70s, early 80s, and so we have a lot of really cool objects like computers just a lot of like hardware and stuff like that in there, which is really awesome. So yeah, there's a bunch of different spaces on campus, and they have a limitless amount of really cool stuff. At least I think it's really cool. And we have a lot of tours ready if people ever want to come see them and that kind of thing. So
not that that is all interesting, but back to the dinosaur.
Yes.
is there an ETA on when all of it will be excavated and then ready to be fully put together?
Yeah, so it's been in the works for a really long time. I was talking to Dr. Pope this morning, who has kind of led that project since its inception. And apparently, a couple summers ago, he spent 8 hours a day for 3 months working on just the vertebrae, and it's a very slow-going process. He doesn't have an exact deadline on when they're hoping that it might be done, but students over the semesters have been slowly chipping away at reconstructing the ribs, reconstructing the head. The vertebrae is about 90% done, so that's a section that is pretty pretty clean and pretty complete when you go in and look at it. And so they're doing their best to kind of get everything kind of put back together. But in the meantime, it is still visible. They work on it in there and then in special sections of the lab. So even though it's not fully complete, people can still go in and see the stuff that has been assembled so far. So,
and back to the original point, yes. Where can people weigh in on the naming of it?
Yeah, NW_museums on Twitter is going to be the kind of hub for that. We also have a Facebook page as well as an Instagram for just other social media stuff, but it's looking like Twitter is going to be the primary house for all of the naming. I think we're going to do, like, for the first round, like, you know, 3 or 4 different name-offs within a couple tweets. People can vote on those, and then I'm going to try and keep it in line with the actual March Madness dates, which I think goes for, like, a week and a half. I'm not a super big sports person, so I've been doing my research. but I'm going to try to keep it in line with the normal March Madness dates to kind of get Moses or Madness in that same vein. So.
All right. Well, that's all I got for you. Is there anything else you want to add?
Just that we're welcome. And anybody on campus, faculty, staff, students, anybody, and even the community actually is welcome to come and see any of the exhibits at any time. The archives page on the Northwest website has all the contact information for me and for the future museum attendants that come after me. And so we'd be happy to give anyone a tour at any time. So just reach out.
All right. Thank you for coming in this morning. Once again, that's Northwest student and museum attendant Natalie Cote talking about the naming rights for the 22-foot-long Mosasaurus that's currently in the hands of Northwest Missouri State University. You can participate in that March Madness-style bracket, once again, by going to NW_museums. This has been your Morning Conversation right here on KXCV, KRNW. I'm Jeremy Werner.